If your life is like the most of ours, you probably work too hard and rest too little. Your day gets started early. The alarm clock awakens you, or maybe a radio, and you race through the morning rituals, and then it's time to take public transportation to work. Perhaps you'll stop to get a warm beverage or one of those breakfast sandwiches. You're shoulder to shoulder and elbow to elbow, working your way through the crowd to get to the office so that you can become a part of the daily grind. Reports have to be given.
Be sure you have that report.
You're taking phone calls. You're making phone calls. You're busy all day long.
Hey, Dave, this is Bob.
And after 8 hours of doing this at work, you're back home now, but you've got to take the kids to the soccer match. And then you have to make sure that you picked up all of the things from the grocery that you wanted. You terrify yourself to sleep with a dose of the evening news, and before you know it, that clock is ringing again, and you're right back at it. The hustle, the grind, the pace, wash, rinse, and repeat day after day, week after week, month after month. The story of your life seems unending until now. Every story needs a rest, and this is the rest of your story. My name is Nick Taliaferro, and I'm the host of The Rest of Your Story, and I'm hoping that we can get together at the end of every week and together put our burdens down and find that place of peace that will allow us to actualize the words of our Master, that we will find rest for our souls. We're going to talk about how important that rest is, but first, let's encourage our hearts by reminding ourselves that the God that we serve is always making a way. Hey, welcome to the rest of your story.
Never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed ever begging bread. Oh no, never seen him turn his back on me. He's been faithful like he said, but I've seen him work miracles in my life, and I know he can make everything all right. Never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed ever begging bread. Oh, oh. Never seen him turn his back on me. He's been faithful like he said, but I've seen him work miracles in my life, and I know he can make everything all right. And he
always making a way,
opening doors. At times,
making a way for me.
Ooh, making a way,
making a way for me.
Yes, he keeps on making a way
for me.
Holding on, opening doors.
Yeah! Making a way.
Yes, indeed. Holding on, holding on. That's my friend Alan Waller, the pastor of the Enon Tabernacle Church in Philadelphia, reminding us that God makes a way, that he's a door opening, way making, ever sustaining and maintaining God. He keeps on making a way. Hey, folks, let's get back now to the rest of your story. If I were to ask you, what was the most important task of man? What was man's first job? What did God expect from us first? What is the first thing that mankind was expected to do? I'm pretty sure that most of you would have a ready answer. Most of you would say, our first task was to be obedient to God, somebody might say. And then there's someone over in the corner who's thinking, no, the first task was to tend the garden, that God made man to tend the garden. And then somebody else would probably raise up and say, no, the first task was to love one another, to learn how to love our brothers and our sisters one with the other. Yeah, we've got all sorts of things in our mind as to what the first work was, but did you know, and have you ever stopped to consider, that the first job of man was not to do anything? But the first task of man was to do nothing, that man's first work was to rest. Think about it. In the book of Genesis, we learn in chapter 2, the first few verses there, that after the sixth day, when God created the earth, and I want you to imagine the work of creation, all that God had done, the angel stood back in absolute awe as God formed the world from nothing, from shapeless emptiness. God made a verdant earth filled and teeming with life. And then on the edge of the sixth day, he scooped down and lifted clay from the earth and shaped it and formed it until it became a man. And he took from that man's side a rib and fashioned a woman. And as the shadows grew long on the sixth day, all of creation was over. For all intents and purposes, the work of creation was done. I imagine, if I can use my imagination, that God was ready to leave and that the angels had packed the Samsonites, because in 6 days the Lord made the heaven and the earth. But then God did something unique. He created another day for nothing. The seventh day had no work in it, no creativity done to it. I imagine the angels were standing by watching and waiting, thinking, wow, look what he did on the other first 6 days. He's really got something planned for the seventh day. But the seventh day came and God did nothing except spend it with his created children. That's because the most important aspect of life for humankind was to first come to rest. That's not abnormal. When a baby is born, if that baby will not come to rest, that baby will not survive. An infant has to be brought first to rest. They come forth from the womb. The first cry is emitted as they open their lungs. They are fussy and fidgety. After all, they're in a brand new world, these new babies, when they're born. But they must come to rest and learn how to nurture at the breast of their mother in order to survive. Rest is an important part of life. You know, not long ago, I had the occasion to speak with a medical practitioner, Dr. Sandra Dalton Smith. She's been an internal medicine specialist for the last 2 decades plus, and she's also the author of a book, Sacred Rest: Recover Your Life, Renew Your Energy, and Restore Your Sanity. How many of us need that today? When I spoke with her, it wasn't because I was looking for a religious conversation. She was speaking to me from a medical scientific perspective about the need for rest in our lives. When I asked her about rest, she started speaking from a scriptural perspective. Listen to what she said about how we get it wrong that most of us believe that we should rest because we are tired. Instead, we need to recognize that we should work from our place of rest. According to Dr. Dalton Smith,
we're thinking that we should work to earn our rest, when scripturally what is actually said is we should be working from our place of rest. Man's first full day on the earth was that day of rest.
Did you catch that? This isn't a theologian. We're not talking to a preacher here. This is a physician saying that we should learn that our identity, that our source of strength comes from resting first, learning to rest and then working from our rest. Rest becomes the foundation. It is the birthright. It's where we start. Our identity comes not from our working, but from our resting. As we continued our conversation, I began to understand that rest was a multifaceted concept, that rest was more than just one thing. Dr. Dalton Smith helped me to understand that there were seven types of rest.
I talk about the seven different types of rest, really, because I burned out myself, and these were some of the seven areas that I found that really needed to be restored intentionally. They are physical, mental, spiritual, emotional, sensory, social, and creative.
That's interesting. Seven different types of rest that we can try to capture on the seventh day. Physical, mental, spiritual, emotional, sensory, social, and creative. I asked Dr. Dalton Smith if she could expand on those seven different facets of rest.
Some of them are kind of self-explanatory. Physical is our body. But I think what we don't understand is that there's two types of physical rest. You have the passive type, which is the sleeping, which is where most of us focus on when we think about rest. But then there's the active type of physical rest, which are those things that actually help our muscles not feel so tight and wound up, helps our circulation and our lymphatic drainage, and even our immune system. And we really need to be aware of those things as well so that we don't walk around with back and neck pain all day long. And then there's mental rest, which is really getting to the place where you're able to think deeply without having your mind jumping around. An easy way of looking at this, if your mind was like your computer, how many tabs are open at any given time? For a lot of us, we have, you know, on our own computer screens, we'll have 10 tabs open, sometimes more when I ask people to check at the moment. Our brains are not meant to multitask like that. It's not meant to for have you jumping from one thing to the other all day long. And so what happens is a lot of us start feeling like we're getting early dementia because we can't concentrate well. We can't clear our mental space. And that's what mental rest is, getting to that point of being able to clear your mental space and focus.
I became really interested in that concept of spiritual rest, the one that most of us focus on. And I asked her, could she help me to understand better what we really mean when we talk about getting spiritual rest? And she said,
which for a lot of people, they think that's, you know, just scripture reading, which can be a part of it. But really, spiritual rest is that relationship part of what we feel with God. It's really not about the religion as much as about the relationship and building that intimacy.
Not about the religion, but about the relationship and building that intimacy. I want to remind you that this is not a minister, not a theologian, not a member of the fellowship, but a scientist saying it's about building intimacy. I understand better now why God made a separate day, a sort of cathedral in time, because intimacy requires space and time. And on that seventh day, God wanted to build something in mankind that required real intimacy. And so he made a separate day. And then he caused that day to become a memorial, something to celebrate, to remind us that our first task is to develop a relationship that required resting in God. But Dr. Dalton Smith didn't stop there. She went on to talk about another aspect of rest, the aspect of social rest.
Then there is social rest, which is looking at how people pull on your social energy. So all of us have people who we are pouring into their lives and they are pulling from us social energy, like our kids and our spouses and coworkers. And, you know, they're not negative people. It's just the nature of the relationship is that they need things from you. Now, the question is, who is pouring back into you? Who are the people in your life who don't need anything from you, but you just enjoy being around them and in their presence? That's what social rest is. Then we have sensory rest, which takes a look at how we're using our senses. It takes into effect how much time we're spending with our electronics, with our gadgets, with the lights on all day and music playing in the background. You know, are we taking some time to downgrade that sensory input every now and then? Too much sensory input can make for some very angry, agitated people.
Too much sensory input makes for angry, agitated people. When I looked around and I considered our world, I began to think that we've got a lot of angry, agitated people, and sometimes those angry, agitated people are us. And I asked Dr. Dalton Smith whether or not maybe we were just a little bit too overstimulated in our world today. And her quick response was...
Absolutely. And one of the number one ways that people stay overstimulated is through the notifications on their phones. Statistics are showing that most of us, when our cell phone's notification goes off, we're having that same adrenaline and cortisol release as a doctor did, 10 years ago when their pager went off telling them somebody was dying somewhere. Do you really need that level of kind of first distress energy every time something goes off on your notifications? We don't.
Guilty as charged. Most of us would have to admit that we sleep more closely with our phones than we do with our mates. We are constantly looking for some type of intrusion into our lives by some kind of message, whether it's by the phone or the radio. So if you got your phone right now in your hand, put it down and listen to her speak about creative rest.
Which is the rest we experience when we allow ourselves to appreciate beauty, whether that's in the natural form, like being outside and in nature around the oceans and the mountains and grass and trees, or creative beauty like art or music.
Which could kind of explain why God made that seventh day rest the first day for Adam and Eve in the beauty of a garden.
All of that has a benefit in helping restore our kind of innovative thinking and our ability to brainstorm and to think outside of the box. And I detail all of this and more in my book, Sacred Rest.
She does indeed. That's Dr. Sandra Dalton Smith, the author of the book Sacred Rest, Recover Your Life, Renew Your Energy, and Restore Your Sanity. Great book to read. And remember, she didn't write this book as a religious book. It is a book written from a scientific medical perspective, reminding us of the obligation and the need to build rest into our lives. And that's why this program welcomes you. It is time for you to restore rest into the narrative of your life story. The rhythm of rest is something that God integrated so that we would be able to rebuild within ourselves the things that he wanted to instill from the very beginning. The first order of business for mankind was to come to rest. Adam, Eve, the first full day of their lives are invited into the rest of God. Remember, God doesn't get tired, so he wasn't looking for a lazy boy or a barco lounger to put his feet up. The rest of God is a rest where God looks at what he had done, and he says, there's nothing more that I could do. It's perfect. It is the kind of rest that a woman or a gentleman might have when they make a cake that is so beautiful that they just throw their hands out and say, it couldn't be any better than that. And so God said, I have made a world that is so perfect, nothing can be added. Now, truthfully speaking, mankind can never say that because whatever we do always has an element of imperfection in it. But God, in his kindness, we are told in the book of Hebrews, invited mankind into his rest. God said to Adam and Eve, what I've done is so perfect, there's nothing you need to try to add to it. I'm inviting you in to enjoy the perfection of what I have done. You can be at peace, not because of what you've accomplished, but because of what I've accomplished. So every seventh day, you are invited to remember that your peace, your security, your well-being, your identity is based not on what you have achieved, accomplished, or acquired. It's based on what God has done on your behalf. It's so important to do these things because not only were they a part of man's foundation, they are a part of our restoration. When we go throughout a week, there are things tearing at our soul. There are commercials that remind us that we probably don't look as good as we need to, or smell as sweet as we'd like to, or drive the car that would make people think certain things of us. We are often told by the messages that we receive that we are either failing or have already failed. By the time you get to the end of the week, trust me, you need restoration. And so the Sabbath that was created for us in the beginning to fuel our lives so that we might begin them in a healthy way has become even more important now because it will restore us. Once again, I turn to Dr. Sandra Dalton Smith to ask her about the restorative aspect of rest.
Yes, because most people, when they think of rest and Sabbath keeping, they automatically think of the cessation of activity and not about the restoration of things. Rest is about restoring. It's pouring back into what's been poured out.
Again, I want to remind you that you're not listening to a preacher. I was not having a theological discussion with Dr. Dalton Smith. We were talking simply about the need for rest in human beings. She raised the issue of Sabbath rest. And I welcomed it because I realized that even as a person who professes to keep Sabbath, that all too often I'm not being poured into, I'm not being restored, but I am busying myself about trying to maintain certain religious touch points. And I am losing, I have lost in many instances, the aspect of rest that was intended by the original Sabbath. And when you think about it, at the beginning we needed Sabbath because it helped us establish identity. As perfect beings, Adam and Eve needed that foundation, but we are failing, faulty, frail, broken people. We need not only identity, we need restoration. Because we are called upon to live in a world where all too often endurance becomes the measure of life. Can you make it? The race is not given to the strong or the mighty, but to he or she who endures to the end. And when you think about having the strength to endure, this rest that God intended is an element that is absolutely essential.
The race is not given to the swift nor the mighty, but to him who survives until the end. So though we are driven to the edge, God holds tightly to our hearts to remind us that His Spirit gives us power to endure, 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 endure. When storm clouds that hover near your soul leave you guessing whether linings are silver anymore. Oh, it's then you'll discover that for you there's a blessing that may never have come your way if you had not been willing. Endure, endure, endure.
on, don't get weary. You were built for this. You can face the foe. You can win the battle. You can endure. That's Mervyn Warren. The song is Endure. We want to thank you so much for joining us on this maiden voyage of the rest of your story. And we hope that we can meet like this together at the end of every week to come to help you find those things that you need to get the rest, to restore yourself so that you can endure. We remind you that the rest of your story is brought to you as a ministry of Message Magazine. I'm Nick Taliaferro, and I'm your host, and I'll see you again next week, right here, for the rest of your story. Peace to you.